You're listening to The Daily Traditionalist with Matthew Heidmark at RadioArian.com.
Comrades, this is your host of The Daily Traditionalist, Matthew Heimbach, and I'm here today with Sven Longshanks. We've got a lot of ground to cover, and I want to kick off with a story that I think is just absolutely the epitome of what we're dealing in the Western world, because we as nationalists, we as traditionalists, are told constantly by the media that we are, we're mean, hateful people for not accepting people's identities, no matter what their identities are. And it's an article from Vice, which used to do some cool things, you know, going into Liberia and filming documentaries, or going to North Korea and sending their guys to the front lines of the civil war in Syria or in eastern Ukraine. I never really liked their slant on these subjects, but they at least had guts, you know, going and telling, I think, some interesting stories, even if I disagree with their perspective. You know, some of their reporters have some real guts. But a story that they had come out is one that I think just shows where Vice has gone and a lot of our situation we're facing as nationalists. And the title is What It Means to Be Trans Species. We talk with some members of the otherkin community, meaning those who identify as other species, whether from Earth or myth. And there is this long, interesting piece talking about someone who thinks they're a dragon, another person who thinks that they're a werewolf, and they dress up in funny costumes, and they don't just believe it. One of them even says that they believe that it's partly spiritual, but also neurological reasons. I mean, that is an identity that is wired into the brain from birth. So, you know, we're told right now in the modern United States and in Western Europe that if you have a man that wants to mutilate himself, cut off his genitals, and pretend to be a woman, or a woman that wants to take testosterone and pretend to be a man and get all sorts of surgeries, that's normal. That's just their identity. But we in American society and Western society still think it's crazy when you pretend to be a dragon, but they use the same rhetoric. So I'm going to turn it over to Sven and get his opinion.
Well, it's quite clear that it's mental illness, isn't it? I mean, that's all you can say. People that think that they're something other than what they actually are. I mean, it's something that, all children play make-believe and pretend to be something that they're not. And they don't expect everybody else to play along with it and continue that into adult life and expect everyone to call them a dog or a dragon or to treat them like that. The thing that really stuck out for me from that article was that these, what do they call them, otherkin, they want to have more dialogue with the transgender community. They want to work together with the transgender community. And I think that's great, because that will really highlight just how insane the idea of transgender is, that we should go along with it and humour them. You know, if we can highlight the fact that this is really just a man that has mutilated himself, that is demanding that other people pretend that he's a woman, you know, the more we can do to highlight that to people, the better. And if you've got people that are saying, you know, I look like a dog and I'm going to be a dog today, I've dressed up like a dog, you know, that really highlights it, doesn't it? It shows you that it's actually a mental illness that we have here. And the way to deal with mental illnesses isn't to humour people. You know, you don't say to people, oh, yes, you are Napoleon. We'll call you Napoleon all the time and pretend that you are. What you do is you tell them, no, you're not Napoleon. This is a mental illness that you have, and we'll give you all the help that we can to get you normal again. And these people that think that they are different animals or different mythical creatures or whatever, they've just got a very strong imagination, is what I would suggest. You know, if they actually had to if they had life a little bit harder than they actually do have it, I don't think they'd have room for these mad fantasies about being other animals or mythical creatures. I think they must have a very easy life to be able to go out and fantasize about this and expect other people to be going along with it. I mean, it just seems very, I suppose the British word for it is sissy. You know, they just seem particularly wet to me.
and you know, Sven, it hits on an interesting thing that, you know, the critiques, funny enough, coming from, you know, traditional Marxism, you had Engels and Marx and others that were identifying, you know, even though, of course, they're in the left part of the spectrum, that homosexuality within European society was found almost exclusively in the bourgeois elements of society. The people that didn't work, they didn't have families, didn't have any responsibilities, they didn't do anything throughout their lives. So they fell into, you know, basically lying around in opium dens, essentially, doing homosexuality. So it's an interesting thing where we see, whether on the left or the right, if you actually believe in something, you look at people like this, and it's just antisocial behavior. And, you know, that's how the National Socialists would have treated things like this. That's even how the communists treated things like this. That, you know, any sane person would look at these degenerates and say that there is something wrong with you. From the article, one of the quotes, you know, the guy is talking about how when he was a kid, he was talking to his friends, and he says, "I was having a casual conversation with a friend about feeling body parts that weren't there. I had no idea that most people didn't feel them. I looked into what could cause things like that and eventually stumbled upon the term other kin." So we're talking about people that truly believe. I mean, you know, on one hand, where does fantasy and mental illness start and stop in this, and where does their imagination continue? But this goes into what I was talking about with Dr. Johnson yesterday about how the modern world is killing us, that because there are no, you know, lack of jobs, lack of opportunities, lack, you know, broken families, youth that aren't being properly educated and raised in our religion and our values, and I mean 101 different things that seem to just be, you know, tied to this increase in mental illness. And there's a reason why in America we have the highest rate of people on prescription drugs of any country on the planet, I believe. I mean, the numbers are absolutely out of control, because trying to deal with normal society, this is such an inorganic society. It's such a soul-crushing society that, you know, we see this huge rise in mental illness. And these other kin people, it just seems to be like a mental illness, but they want to be taken seriously. And it's not just in America. Before the show, I was doing some research, and there was a documentary done, and I think it was like Sweden, and there was a young girl, I mean, she wasn't particularly attractive, but she wasn't particularly unattractive, who said that she was a cat, and whenever, you know, they were walking out in the streets, and whenever she would see a dog, she would hiss, and this is like an adult. This is a woman that should have kids and a family already, probably. You know, I think she was in like her early 20s, and she's in the bus station hissing at dogs and saying she can communicate with cats and licking herself in public. I mean, this is just absolutely mental illness that I think really is a symptom of the society that we live in, as we see, especially young people are so alienated, so disconnected from their people, from their community, from their ancestors, and from any sort of organic identity, you know, because we've been stripped of our racial identity, we're increasingly stripped of our gender identities, men aren't supposed to be men, women aren't supposed to be women, our families are broken due to the high divorce rate, the churches, of course, have turned against any form of traditional Christianity, so we don't have that moral, you know, foundation, that moral compass, that you've got, you know, the especially these young white kids. I almost always see it in white kids in America and Europe that just feel so isolated and kicked off. Whatever underlying mental illness they have, that just kicks in, because everyone has that need for identity. They have that need for connection and community and being part of something, and they've been stripped of everything that's good, everything that's wholesome, but they still have that need. So they find themselves in the absolute craziest thing of thinking that they're dragons.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think there's an element of attention seeking there as well. They want to be the center of attention, so they do something way out like that to draw attention to themselves. And also for ways to cover up things that are maybe lacking in their own character. You know, if you're dressed up as a dog, people aren't going to be thinking about maybe some of the other points of your character that you'd rather not people discovered. You'd rather they just thought about you as a dog or thought about you as a dragon rather than thought about maybe some other aspects of the way that they think. And I do think you're right that it's due to having our identity stripped away from us that people do things like this. I also think this is a reason why we see people, you know, with lots of piercings and lots of tattoos, and they're basically looking like as if they're tribes from the South American jungle. and dressing like that. And it's not their identity, it's not their heritage, but they don't know what their own identity or heritage is. So they're just looking for something that they think might fit, something that makes them stand out a bit from the crowd, because they know that everything is wrong, that our society is wrong, so they reject that. And they want to show people that they've rejected it. So they look for some way to rebel against it, and they find that that will shock people. Similar to this, I mean, it will shock people if someone is saying, you know, I'm a dog or I'm a dragon, in the same way that it will shock people to see somebody with lots of piercings, or even the feminists with blue hair. It's all symptoms of losing your own identity and losing your own heritage and not knowing who you actually are. I think that's the problem that we see with these other kin people. They've forgotten who they are, so they look for something which appeals to them, something which will give them a form of an identity. And also then they've got a group of people that they can identify with, and that have all been through the same hardships. You know, there's a sort of shared camaraderie, I'm sure, that they actually have with these other kin. And it's all just third-rate copies of what we would have if we had an ethnic national state. If we were pushing nationalism, if we were pushing ethnic nationalism, then they would have that sense of kinship with their own people. But we don't, because our whole culture and all the systems that we see around us are all anti-white, and they're all against the ethnicity identifying with the other members of the ethnicity. I mean, this is, I think we get right to what it is that is the source of all our problems, is the fact that we won't actually associate ourselves with our own ethnicity. We will associate ourselves with our country, maybe, in which case we'll say, oh, look at all the terrible things our country has done. Or we'll say, oh, we're a citizen of the nation that we currently reside in. And we'll say that anybody who is a different race to us, foreigners, they're still British because they've got a bit of paper saying that they're British. And all of this, you know, it's very, very fundamental to who we are, our race and our nation, the ethnic nation, that is. It's so fundamental. It's more fundamental to us even than gender, the fact that we're a part of a race and a nation. And instead of acknowledging that and celebrating that and making the most that we can out of it, we've rejected it and said there's no such thing as race, there's no such thing as nation. All a nation is a piece of paper that says that you live on a certain island somewhere, and it's got nothing to do with shared ethnicity, shared heritage, shared blood. But that's what it's all about. It's all about the ancestors that you have, the land that your ancestors gave their blood to secure for you, and all the history that goes with that, that you share with all the people of the same ethnicity as you. And that's what bonds us all together. That's what should be bonding us all together. And when you go against that, when you say, well, that's not true, that's all just make believe, then you end up with all these symptoms of things going wrong. You end up with all these mental problems that we see with these people, with these other kins, with these transgenders, with the amount of suicide that goes on, with these depressed teenagers. I mean, teenagers shouldn't be depressed. You know, they should be really cheerful. They're young. They've got their whole lives ahead of them. They're healthy. They haven't got all the worries that you have when you were grown up, where you've got to get the money in to pay the rent, to pay the mortgage, to pay for the kids. They haven't got any of this weight on their shoulders. And yet we're still seeing teenagers killing themselves, committing suicide, and calling up these helplines where they're having such a terrible time of it. And all of it, all of these problems can be traced back to denying the race and nation, I think, Matt.
Well, you know, I think you're right on that, Sven. And I'm looking here. There was a study that just came out that says that millennials, of course, people born between 1980 and 1994, so that'd be my generation, are the most narcissistic generation in any time that's been polled. And they compared how the grandparents of millennials view millennials and how millennials view themselves. And the older generation ranked millennials on a 65.3 level of narcissism on a 100-point scale, where millennials rated themselves as a 61.4. And they found that millennials don't like being called narcissistic, even though they admit overwhelmingly to having the trait. So you have with this tied in, it doesn't go so far, you know, for I think most millennials, you know, most young white people in America, to dressing up like a dog or pretending to be a different species. But you also see the degree of narcissism, because narcissism indicates that you're isolated, that you think that you are more important than the collective, that you're a special snowflake. And we see this with the rhetoric of the left. I mean, the rhetoric of the left isn't about workers anymore. They don't even pretend anymore to care about the interests of like normal working class people. It's all about feeding into this special snowflake mentality of a narcissistic generation. And the next generation is probably going to be even worse. And I think that's why we see on our side of the political spectrum, so many young people are coming to National Socialism, because it's not just about being quote unquote right wing or opposing multiculturalism. To be a National Socialist is to understand your responsibility and your duties, and that you're honor-bound to commit and follow through on for your people. It creates that nation state. It creates that tribe. It's a healthy, organic way of viewing things. And it's the opposite. Like in America, radical individualism is just trumpeted from the hills as being the most important thing. But we see so many young people, either they're going to the far left, which I think is just the definition of narcissism, or coming to us on the right, and accepting their responsibility as part of something greater than themselves. But I think it's a very interesting situation where the center isn't holding at all. And the studies like this and the other kin phenomenon really comes in together that we've got a generation that is not going to be normal. And that's a good thing on one hand, because the normal that we're facing is one that is, that's death. You know, the political center is not a good thing for us. So hopefully that's going to push more and more people into thinking collectively, acting collectively. But, you know, I think the left at this point just is a entire tribe of narcissists. You have the, you know, the other ethnic groups that are in the leftist coalition that actually think collectively. That's a more healthy identity for them than what we have. But for whites, it's all about, I'm a special snowflake. Here's my 10 different pronouns to describe my sexuality and what I am. You know, it's all about me and my rights, where for us it's all about responsibilities, it's all about duties. So I think it's a very interesting thing to see how this is breaking down, and how the political center of America and Western Europe, I don't think it's going to hold together, because our generation is making a choice and we're going in two very different paths.
Well, yeah, it's, you know, right at the center of it is this selfish ideal that they push, and it goes right the way through everything, right the way through democracy. You're told to vote for who you think is going to be best for you, not voting for what you think is going to be best for the nation, but what you think is going to be best for you, if they're going to be lowering taxes for you, or if they're going to be giving welfare to you. That's who you want to be voting for, not what's best for the nation. That's the ideal that they try to push onto people. And if you look at capitalism, it's, you know, you want to be making the most money that you can for you, regardless of everyone else. Everyone else is going to be making the most amount of money they can for them. So you just have to not think about the harms that you're doing to other people. You just have to make the most money for yourself. And that's your capitalism. And then you look at communism, and they say, well, everybody's all exactly the same, everybody is just this economic unit, nobody's better than anyone else, they're all capable of producing X amount, and that's it, no more, no less. So both of those, capitalism and communism, are based on this individual, the selfish individual idea. And we're not actually built to be selfish individuals. You cannot make yourself happy. The only way that you can be happy is by doing things for other people. If you do things for somebody else, that will make you happy, because then other people will be doing things for you, and that will make you happy. But actually just trying to make yourself happy, you know, that's not possible. We can't actually do that. That's why people go taking drugs, because they think that will make themselves happy. But really, doing something for somebody else is going to give you an uplift for the day. Giving somebody a lift in the rain, helping someone walk across the road, stopping for someone so that they can walk across the road, just doing small things that will improve other people's lives. You'd be surprised how much that uplifts your mood and puts you in a better frame of mind. And that's the complete opposite of the way that people are taught now, the complete opposite, because they're just taught to look out for themselves. And when we live in the multicultural society full of diversity, it's very hard to do anything else because you can't relate to anyone else because they don't even speak the same language as you. They don't have the same customs as you. So that encourages you to be even more selfish and look out for yourself and nobody else, especially in the cities. So what we have, it's really compounded. It's compounded by the multiculturalism. It's compounded by the all living together, one on top of one another in a city. And it's compounded by the education system, the capitalist system, the way that everybody is taught to do everything they possibly can just to earn money for themselves without actually thinking about the nation. And it's goes completely against what it means to be a human being. It goes right against the very, very fundamental idea of being human, which is to be able to do things for your fellow human beings, for your kin, for your tribe, for your nation. That's what it's all built on. It's not built on the individual. The individual is nothing without the people around him. I can look around my room now, and none of it has been created by me. It's all been created by other people. We all need everybody else in order to survive. And yet somehow we've managed to twist our thinking so that we just do what we can for ourselves and not for the others. And we know where it comes from. It comes from the Jews, and it comes from the traitors within our nations that fell for this and fell for all the glittering trinkets that the Jews put before them, put before their eyes, and said, look, you can look at all this money you can make if you allow us into your country and you allow us to do our usurious operations, you allow us to run your banks, we'll make you lots of money and we'll make us lots of money. And our aristocracy fell for that and they went along with it and they went into the British Empire and everything else that we know about and all the horrors that went along with that. And it all boils down to this temptation for the individual to make himself better than those around him. It all boils down to the individual wanting to have more than everybody else. And this is where it leads to. It leads to suicide, depression, people having to take pills every day just to get through. It leads to people being depressed, and it leads to people being confused about even what species they are. You know, it's absolutely incredible that we could have let it get this far, Matt. And, you know, the good thing is that people are realizing it. That's why nationalism is rising. That's why we've got more and more people waking up to this, standing up to this, speaking out against it. That's why we've got Donald Trump in America. That's why we've got Brexit in Britain. And I've just heard today that Marine Le Pen is 28%. In the polls at the moment. She's 7 points ahead of her nearest rival. So it looks like this this nationalist revolution, this nationalist wave that is sweeping the world, it isn't stopping anytime soon, Matt.
Well, exactly, Sven. And, you know, it's amazing to be able to see how people, even more people, aren't jumping on the nationalist bandwagon, because I was looking at this horrific article, this absolutely horrific article about 9 Iraqi asylum seekers who gang raped an Austrian girl for 2 hours on New Year's Eve in 2015, and it's finally coming forward to the case. I mean, when you see what's really happening, that again, these immigration policies, people are dying, women are getting raped in this thing, children are getting trafficked and groomed. I mean, the human cost is just out of control, and more people are seeing it due to people no longer trusting the mainstream media, going to alternative media sites, getting the facts. Because the media has been the gatekeeper on knowledge for decades. And this is not a new phenomenon of the price of multiculturalism, but people are finally seeing it. And I'm seeing this article where this 28-year-old girl was intoxicated. She was taken back to a flat, and she was raped. She was sodomized. She was begging for no, like, leave me alone. And, you know, what happened with this, it's finally now coming to court. And these people, even though they found the DNA of all these men, they're still saying, well, no, we didn't do anything, or no, the only one who admitted it, and you know, I've actually absolutely horrific. The guy needs to spend his time in prison. But I did find it interesting. The one that admitted to all this said that his Muslim faith forbid him to drink alcoholic beverages. But on New Year's he made an exception and wasn't used to it, and said he was really drunk and admitted that this act is a crime in Iraq. So, like, there's a reason why these societies, these Muslim societies, ban alcohol and things like that to try and keep this stuff from happening. But, of course, in the West, we've got the worst of all worlds because we've got these Western Jewish values being put in place, drunkenness, drugs, easy sex, all these sorts of things. These migrants are coming in being told they can do whatever they want. And their old traditional laws and traditional society that could keep things under control aren't in place here. So we've really got the worst of all worlds here. But all the other defendants are saying that she was given to them by family members or she was into it and all sorts of horrific things. So there's a real human cost to this. And I think as more people see cases like this coming forward, they're going to realize that this is their, you know, a danger to their wife or their daughter or their girlfriend or themselves, you know, being stabbed or beaten. I've been watching videos from France of these young white youths that get beaten at train stations and stuff like that. These groups of Africans coming and beating them and robbing them and filming it and putting it online. They're not trying to hide this anymore. They're just going out and they're doing it and saying they can do whatever they want because, you know, in their countries, if you were to do stuff like this, you might get beheaded. You steal, you get your hand chopped off and things like that. But we don't have that in the West. We send them, you know, in the prisons in Western Europe, you get to live better than you do as a middle-class person back home in the Middle East in many of these countries. So there's real no punishment. They don't have their religious authorities to keep them from doing this stuff. They don't have the very strict legal policies where you could die for doing stuff like this. We've got the West that coddles every criminal that we get our hands on. We coddle them. We give them everything. And we tell them they can get away with everything in the West. So I want to know your thoughts on this, Sven, because I know this case is getting a lot of attention, especially in Europe.
Yeah, it's particularly horrific. And the fact is, I mean, you say that 9 Iraqi asylum seekers, they're all 9 Iraqi asylum seekers from one family. That's one family. It's not just one rotten egg in the family. That's the entire family that raped that poor German school teacher. And they said that she was given to them. She was given to them by somebody else that they knew. And I would question it when they say, oh, this would be a crime in Iraq. Because we know in the Muslim countries that if a woman is out on her own, then it's not a crime if she gets raped. If the woman gets raped, then it's her fault and she's committed the crime. We've seen that happen in Saudi Arabia. We've seen people get raped over there. They go to the police, they say I was raped, and then they get put in prison because they allowed the man to rape them because they were out on their own. They didn't have their husband with them. But these are completely different cultures and customs to the way that that we exist in the West and the culture and the customs that we have evolved. But if you bring over non-whites and blacks from these other countries, then this is exactly what's going to happen. I mean, just take Sudan, for instance. Sudan is in the news today over here in Britain. Sudan and Somalia, £200 million is being given to them, just handed out to them so that they can spend it on food. Never mind the fact that 80% of all the food aid that went over there before got stolen by government agents and then sold on the black market. But £200 million worth of aid is going to Somalia and Sudan. But the problem is, when they try to give it out, the government troops keep raping the aid workers. Literally raping the aid workers, government troops. So this is the culture that they have over there. Even the government itself is doing this. It's not rare bad eggs. It's the government, it's entire families, it's the entire way of thinking. And I know that that's Negroes, and we were talking about Arabs with Iraq, but it's only just degrees on a spectrum. Because they will allow it in Africa. It's just so common, rape. Every woman over there, or every female over there, has been raped at least once in her life. If they go out on their own, they're caught walking along the road, they're likely to get raped. And in the Arab countries, if a woman is out without a husband and she gets raped, well, that's tough luck. You're not going to be able to really take the guys to court because you're the one that's going to end up in prison. So we've got a completely different culture, different way of doing things, different way of thinking. And yet we bring that into our countries, into our white countries. And it's amazing to me that these liberals will just say, welcome refugees. They won't actually stand up and say, look, this is terrible what's going on. Our women are being raped. I mean, we've just seen it this week with Donald Trump bringing up what's happening in Sweden. And you get the Swedish MP saying there's no problem in Sweden. There's no problem in Sweden. And yet Sweden's got the second highest rape rate in the world now, second only to Africa. And that's because of all the African immigrants that are there. Never mind the riots that then took place the next day after Donald Trump said this. It's just a complete blindness that these liberals seem to have to what's actually going on. And I'm very sorry to say it, but it is going to take things like this German school teacher being raped for them to wake up, because it is going to be these German school teachers and British school teachers and students that are going to be raped by these non-white monsters, because they are the ones that don't have the sense to keep out of their way. They are the ones that are welcoming them and thinking that everybody is all the same, and race is just skin colour. So this is the sort of thing that is going to happen to them until they actually wake up to it and start calling for them all to be sent back home instead of calling for more to come into our countries.
Well, exactly. And, you know, we just need to keep battling on and battling forward. And we can do this. You know, we are winning absolutely everywhere. And something I just want to close out with, I thought, an interesting story, because the force of nationalism, of course, is the most powerful thing. From Greece, one of my Greek friends just sent me this. There is a factory in Greece that's been striking for several months, and the communists have been trying to organize for a long time. The KKE is the communist party there. And when I've been in Greece, I've seen their propaganda everywhere, the hammers and sickles. And they apparently invited Golden Dawn members to come in and join them in the factory strike. And the Golden Dawn members talked against the capitalists, against the bankers, against the European Union, and the anarchists, who, of course, do the most violence against nationalists and normal Greeks and against the police in Greece, are absolutely losing their minds. So, you know, the communists weren't getting anywhere, but they are dedicated to the idea of helping the workers, unlike the special snowflake left. So they had to call them the big guns, and that's Golden Dawn. So I thought that was a pretty funny thing, and I love when the leftist coalition falls apart. And remember, at the end of the day, we are the ones that have the right ideas, the real solutions, and we're fighting for our people. So whether it's migrant crime, whether it's capitalism, whatever it is, we have the answers. So remember, we're fighting forward, we're struggling, we will win. And Sven, thank you so much for being here. We'll be back tomorrow with another edition of our show, ladies and gentlemen, and I hope you have a great day. Hail victory!
You've been tuned into The Daily Traditionalist with Matthew Heimbach at RadioArea.com.